Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Last week, former state legislator Gretchen Whitmer of East Lansing was chosen to be Ingham County prosecutor on an interim basis. A 7-member panel of county circuit judges appointed her unanimously to that post. Whitmer will assume the position on July 2nd. That's when prosecutor Stuart Dunnings III formally steps down. He faces various charges involving prostitution. For several years, Gretchen Whitmer's been discussed as a potential candidate for higher office here in Michigan, governor or maybe attorney general. Whitmer's been an attorney at legal firm Dickinson Wright since being term limited out of the state Senate last year. On Friday, I spoke with Gretchen Whitmer about the prosecutor assignment. I first asked why she offered to serve in the position.
Well, you know, I spent 14 years representing Ingham County and some parts of Ingham County and almost all of it at one point. And I really think that people have lost faith in our public servants and in our government. What we've seen, the circumstances that led us to this point are just very disturbing and sad. And I thought, to the extent that the judges believed a real part of this job was trying to earn back the confidence of the people of Ingham County and to be transparent and to be a real advocate for victims, that's something that I think I've done over these 14 years and for the same community, and that I might be helpful. And if my skills were helpful, I hoped that they might put them to work. I think it's important, and I think public service is a privilege, but it's also extremely rewarding.
You first became a practicing attorney at Dickinson Wright, your current firm, back in 2000. How well do you understand the role of the county prosecutor and how the office works?
Well, your point about Dickinson Wright, they've been fantastic, and I'll just start with that. I'm very lucky to have had such a great opportunity with a statewide firm. I don't have much experience in criminal law per se. But the Office of the Prosecutor, the most important thing that we are doing is protecting victims and seeking justice and holding people accountable. And so the top person is the one that sets the tone, that ensures that people are conducting themselves in a professional manner with integrity and communicates with the public. And to the extent that that's what the job entails, I think it's a good match.
For our listeners who aren't necessarily well-versed in the mechanics of the prosecutor's office, though, can you explain it?
Sure. Well, so the county prosecutor's office is obviously the agency vested with the responsibility and authority to hold people who conduct, you know, who engage in criminal activity accountable. And we will oversee so many different types of cases across Ingham County that it's an enormous undertaking and enormous responsibility. Work critically and very closely with all law enforcement agencies. And I think it's run pretty well. I think that the reputation of the assistant prosecuting attorneys within the office is quite good. And so I anticipate that there will be a lot of work on the inside to do, because I do think that this circumstance has created a lot of, maybe a hit to morale, if you will. And so I think that that's going to be very important. But my short-term goal is to make sure that we've got an open and honest relationship with all of the law enforcement agencies. I want to ask, what has the prosecutor's office done well? And where is there room for improvement? And that room for improvement is where I want to spend some energy. I also think that the victim advocacy is obviously paramount. And so I take that very seriously, and that it will remain a priority. The long-term goal is to turn over a professional operation that runs well top to bottom to whomever wins the general election in November.
And how many people work in the prosecutor's office?
There's 62 employees, and at any given time, there's 4 to 8 interns.
And to what extent will you consider this a learning experience?
Well, it's certainly, I think, people... You're supposed to evolve every day. You're supposed to learn every day. And anyone who thinks anyone who thinks they have all the answers is either arrogant or ignorant. I hope to learn a lot, frankly. I have already had a meeting with someone from the prosecutor's office, the chief assistant. Next week, Gene Rigglesworth has invited me to a meeting of all of the chiefs, and I will be getting an opportunity to meet with all of the assistant prosecuting attorneys. It's one of those things that I don't actually take office until July 2nd. But when I spoke with the chief judge, I asked her if it would be appropriate for me to reach out and try to start to get the lay of the land and get to know the people that are, you know, in the courtrooms doing the work. And she said she didn't see why not. And so I've started that process, and I think that there's a lot to learn, of course.
Gretchen Whitmer joins me here on WKAR's Current State. As she just said, she begins serving as interim Ingham County prosecutor on Saturday, July 2nd. You were selected by a panel of circuit court judges, Baird, Lawless, Collette, Aquilina, Kennedy, Dragonchuk, JMO. Do those judges ever preside over cases that involve the county prosecutor's office?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They've got criminal cases in their courtrooms all the time.
Is there potential for conflict of interest? This crossed my mind. I mean, could those judges who selected you have business in the next few months with the prosecutor's office, though?
Well, the judges are, you know, the voters elected each of those judges, and they vote as a panel. This is an extremely unique situation that rarely arises, and so I think a lot of opinions had to be solicited in terms of how they are supposed to conduct replacing the prosecutor that has resigned. But, you know, all of these county officers, their jobs overlap, and I don't anticipate that there would ever be a question of their impartiality with regard to a criminal proceeding that is going on in their office. They certainly wouldn't have held any of the criminal prosecutions currently underway against anyone because of what's happened with our outgoing prosecutor, and they wouldn't I wouldn't ever question that their impartiality on anything going forward either.
I'd like a few minutes with you on state issues here. The Flint water crisis continues to grind away criminal charges, the relief effort, lawsuits, and on and on. As we sit here on May 13th, how do you assess the state's overall response to the Flint situation?
Well, I think it's so very sad what has happened in Flint. And every time I turn on my faucet, I think about what would happen if you couldn't, if the water that was coming out of there was hurting your kids in the bathtub and they had rashes, or they weren't growing right, or you've done long-term damage. I can't even get my head around how some of these parents and kids are dealing with the fallout from what's happened. There were so many red flags that came up over a period of time that the philosophy in the executive office of our state, in the governor's office, was to save money, and whether there was direct knowledge at the very top or not, that was the overarching philosophy, and they blew through so many red flags, missed so many different opportunities to stop and correct the problem, and I it's just really, you understand why people are losing faith in our government, and that's something that's very troubling to me.
But again, as we sit here on May 13th, what about all the efforts that are underway from the state? How do you assess those?
Well, I think that the fact that people still can't drink their water is mind-boggling. And it's wonderful to see all of these charitable organizations come together and make these massive contributions. But we should never rely on charitable contributions to supplant a core function that state government is supposed to provide. At the very minimum, government is supposed to protect us and protect the most vulnerable around and within our state, whether it's in law enforcement or it is in just the water quality. We're the Great Lakes State. We have a Pure Michigan campaign. We define ourselves and literally our state by water, defines who we are. And to be a late night punchline because we failed the people is not only horrifying for the people that live in Flint, but every one of us should be worried about that and concerned about it. These same people are the ones that are overseeing our water, the ones that are overseeing the dioxin plume in Washtenaw County. We've all paid a price because government failed this community, because we're all from Michigan and we all have a vested interest in the health of the people of our state, and as well as the reputation of this state, obviously.
Should the governor resign?
I've been asked that question a number of times, and I've never said he should resign, but I understand the sentiment of those who call on him to. I think that Brian Kelly as governor wouldn't be a major change that helps people. I mean, he's on the ground in Flint. He's supposedly working on this. So I've not called on the governor to resign. I think the person most interested in getting something done is the man who's going to worry about his legacy. But we're not seeing enough done quickly enough.
Are you expecting him to serve out his term then?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
There are two Detroit public school rescue packages being debated at the Capitol. Do you actively support one plan over another?
There's no question the Senate plan is far superior to the House. The Senate plan was a bipartisan plan that I think the treasurer and actuaries and people that looked at the financial mechanisms in it say that really is a sustainable plan, one that makes sense. I think it's the only serious plan on the table. The bill that the House passed out at 4 o'clock in the morning last week was written by the charter lobby, and it's at the expense of Detroit school kids. The treasurer, you know, Governor Snyder's state treasurer, said that plan's not even financially viable, because by August they're back in a debt situation. So it came out on a party line vote. It was written by the charter school lobby, and no, I don't think it's a serious plan at all. The only honest attempt to solve this is the attempt that came out of the Senate.
You're one of three Democrats that I hear mentioned regularly as possible candidates for governor in 2018. What's your thinking on that today?
Well, I think about the state of Michigan that I grew up in the 70s, and we were leaders on so many fronts. And I look at the state that my girls are growing up in, and sometimes it's hard to recognize. Like every parent around this state, I want my kids to stay in Michigan, to have opportunity here, to be respected and protected here in Michigan. And I know we can do a lot better. So that's how I look at the state of our state right now. And the thought that perhaps I could be a part of making sure that we're doing better and for our kids and to keep them here, that's something that I will continue to seriously consider.
Would you most seriously consider the top job, or are there other positions that you would also consider?
I think if you're going to take on the Herculean task of running for a statewide office, you should run for the one where you can do the most good for the most people. And so I am looking at governor.
How long do you think that process will likely take?
I would imagine, because knowing that our attorney general is going to be running for governor very likely and has been looking at and preparing for that for a long time, that it will be an intensive long-term campaign. And so I would imagine early next year.
You're a Hillary Clinton supporter. How would you describe the impact Bernie Sanders has had on the presidential campaign?
Well, you know, no one likes a primary. I'll just say that. But I think that oftentimes candidates are better off for having had a primary. And I certainly think that Bernie has electrified a segment of our population that might not otherwise have been engaged in this debate. And so I think that that's a good thing. I see the Republican side and the bizarre debates that they've had and lack of substance, and I'm proud to be a Democrat. But I do hope that the party comes together in short order around Hillary Clinton. I do think that her path is solid through the primary, and I think she's got a great shot to get elected this fall. But we've got to take Donald Trump very seriously. I mean, even though, in my estimation, he's not got a whole lot of substance that should be taken seriously, as a candidate and the enthusiasm around him from so many people in our country, he's got to be taken seriously. And if we want to move this country forward and make sure that all people are respected and that we are respected around the globe, then I think that we've got to really mobilize and make sure that we elect Hillary Clinton.
Does his candidacy concern you more today than it did, say, 6 months ago?
Well, it does. I think no one took him seriously when he first got into it. He's a reality television star. He's made a lot of money in a lot of different ways, but the fact of the matter is he is not someone who is well-versed on international policy or homeland security or a variety of many, many other issues. You know, we used to have debates that were about ideas and philosophies, and they could be hard-hitting, but they were talking about issues that matter to people. We've seen name-calling and veiled remarks about, you know, how well-endowed a candidate is, and it's just so far beyond what we should expect of our leaders. We should expect substance and fire and excitement and ideas and philosophy and debates on issues. And we haven't seen that. And it's really very troubling. And I hope that the people across this country finally, when we have two candidates who are facing off, zero in on how important that is.
If Hillary Clinton were elected, do you think Bernie Sanders' success will, to any extent, shape Hillary Clinton's agenda? Do you think he's had that much impact?
Absolutely. I think that we've had a more robust debate about things that are in the center of where Democrats, you know, the beauty of being a Democrat is we've got a huge tent and we've got so many people with different viewpoints, but I think that we've had a really great debate that brings people kind of to what the general person on the Democratic side of the aisle wants to hear people talking about, and that will continue on. It will dictate many of the issues going forward, and I think that's a good thing.
If she were sitting here right now, who would you recommend she choose as a running mate?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think the HUD secretary, Julian Castro, would be a great choice. He's from Texas. He's Hispanic. He's dynamic and young, and I think that that would be an energizing choice. There's also people like Mark Warner or Tim Kaine, and so I think she's got quite a few people to choose from that have got good set of experience and would add to the ticket. But I like that Julian Castro.
Gretchen Whitmer, good luck in your new role as interim county prosecutor for Ingham County. That starts on Saturday, July 2nd, and we'll stay in touch.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you.